O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. We shall pray. Almighty God, our Father, great is thy faithfulness, and we rejoice that in the midst of the changing circumstances of our existence, that there is one whom we can call Father, who changes not in mercy, in forgiveness, in the desire for our response of love toward thee. Grant, therefore, that as we come into this place of worship, we may consecrate our minds and our spirits unto thy adoration and to thy greater service. And grant through the ministry of thy Holy Spirit that we may hear with gladness thy word and go forth with eagerness to do thy will. In the quietness of this moment, we bring before thee our petitions for one another. We ask that thou wilt sustain all today who uphold thy righteous purpose, that thou wilt restrain all who do evil, and that by thy sovereign power thou wilt direct men and nations both to seek and to follow after thy purposes. Let thy special mercy attend those who face illness, who bear the burdens of financial anxiety, and who have become overborne in the many cares of life. Let this be for our souls a season of refreshing, that with new energy and with new devotion, we may go to our tasks in thy name and in thy spirit. Amen. Here beginneth the second letter of Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours in the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, that through these you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of passion and become partakers of the divine nature. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these things are yours and abound, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these things is blind and short-sighted, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be the more zealous to confirm your call and election, for if you do this, you will never fall. So there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last July, in one of the nation's two major political conventions, a dynamic young man, having by hard work and careful organization and a good financial backing, won the nomination of his party for their candidate as president, in his acceptance speech challenged the party and the American people to seek the conquest of new frontiers. In my opinion, that political speech electrified the imaginations of the American people as no political speech since that one of Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1933, when he called upon the American people to remember that there was nothing to fear but fear itself. This speech helped put President Kennedy into the White House. It remains to be seen whether the American people will respond to the conquest of the new frontiers. If we are true to our heritage, I think we shall at least try to arise to the conquest of new frontiers. As many of you know, one of the great schools of history, of historical thought in America, was developed around the concept of the frontier. And the historians observed that when the geographical frontiers of the West and the Northwest and the Southwest were conquered, that something went out of the American spirit. We've come into the space age, and we're talking about the conquest of space. But as Gerald Johnson has reminded us, there is still the frontier to be conquered in the inner man. From the first century, there comes a word which was read in your hearing a moment ago from a servant of God who called upon the people of his time, and who through the Spirit of God calls upon us today to live on faith's frontiers. Hear the words of Simon Peter. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. And then he goes on to name seven qualities of life which are to be added to one's faith. I do not need to remind you that the writer of these words was not an ivory tower academician, nor was he a speculative philosopher, nor a systematic theologian. He was a practical man of faith and action. He was one who had met the Master and whose life had been radically reoriented by his confrontation by Jesus. He was the kind of a man who could swear with an eloquence that stunned the fish by the time they came to the surface of the water. His arms were muscular and strong as the oars with which he guided his father's fisher's boat. A little bit strange from such a man to hear such words, to come to the frontiers of faith and there enter the fatherland and add to one's faith virtue. The beachhead of the frontier of the exploration of the inner man in the name of God is faith. Peter took this to be the irreducible minimum of Christian experience, but he regarded it as a minimum. And he said, on the basis of your faith, which itself is for us a journey into the unknown, as it was for Abraham of old, a conquest of a far country, going into a place, knowing not where he went, but knowing that he sought a city whose builder and maker was God himself. The beachhead is such a faith. It is the Kierkegaardian leap. It is the unconditional surrender, the committed trust, the outgoing confidence expressed toward the living God disclosed in Jesus Christ. And to this irreducible minimum, add virtue. This Greek word, arete, bespeaks of a quality of excellence of character. And faith produces such an excellence of character. There is no such thing as an autonomous Christian ethic. The ethos of Christianity is produced by the faith experience itself. And so Peter admonishes, in the exploration of faith's frontiers, add to your faith excellence of character, a moral energy which releases the human person to do the will of God. And to this virtue, there are to be added seven links. Six other links in a great chain, which helps us to explore the innermost recesses of our Christian experience. Add to your virtue knowledge. This was a strange thing from such a man, and to this day we are beset by those who feel that faith and knowledge are irreconcilable opposite poles. I think it is not inappropriate on a day close to our Founder's Day for us to be reminded that it has been the intention of this institution from the beginning that faith and knowledge go together. And I think I speak for all of my colleagues when I say that it is the recognition of every member of the instructional staff that faith and knowledge belong together. Let there be, therefore, on this campus, no false dichotomy between, quote, spirituality and, quote, intellectualism. Faith and knowledge belong together. But, Peter reminds us, add to your knowledge self-control. There is a kind of knowledge that puffs up. Like a child who has come upon a new toy. We are tempted when we come upon a new idea to embrace it, to become unduly impressed by it, and it takes self-control to assimilate the new knowledge into our faith. And to self-control, add the virtue of steadfastness. This is that interior quality which enables a man to stand foursquare to every evil wind that blows in life, and having stood, to withstand. And to steadfastness, add godliness. I regret very much that the word piety has come to be regarded as a disreputable word because of the way in which true piety has been prostituted. Peter is speaking here about true piety. A God-likeness, a reminder of Jesus Christ, a recognition that here is one who has been with the Lord. We need this quality. Add to your steadfastness godliness, and to your godliness brotherly affection. This word, Philadelphia, applies to the regard which Christians have for one another within the Christian community. And within a community such as this, there should be strong integrative bonds of creative love which bind us together so that we remember particular acts of thoughtfulness and kindness one toward another. And then the crown jewel of all is the great virtue of agape. Add to all of this that universal love that reaches out to all men, regardless of the color of their skin or the language they speak, or the place they occupy in the social scale. Crown all of it with this quality, which comes from God Himself, which gives to a man the ability to transcend those differences which race and nation and class and denomination tend to make sometimes seemingly insurmountable. We are called to a life of faith, and in that life, to add to that faith as we explore faith's frontiers. And there is a promise with this. It is a negative kind of promise, for whoever lacks these things is blind and short-sighted. And there's a positive promise, for if these things are yours and abound, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Confirm through the ministry of thy own Spirit, eternal Father, we pray, the proclamation of thy word, that as we go from this place, we may go with the knowledge of God in our lives, the peace of God in our hearts, and the service of God as our will.